Hi, and welcome back to episode 4 of the podcast. I'm Noah.
I'm Regina.
I'm Ben.
And this is Irresistible, a podcast brought to you by Drexel's Music and Shoe Program.
I think today we are talking about something that's been on our minds a lot lately as music industry students, and that's internships. Quite a bit to cover in terms of the amount of questions. So I guess we should just get right into it.
Yeah.
Anyone would like to start?
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of a shared experience, I feel like, for a lot of college age students and just people who are looking for internships in general. A lot of them are unpaid. After doing some quick research, I did see that from 2012 to 2014, the number of paid and unpaid internships went from 50% to 43%, but that's still a pretty large number. And in Drexel, our internships are called co-ops, and it's very, very common for us to just expect unpaid internships. I know, like, last year I did an unpaid internship, and this year I'll probably be doing another one, and I'm sure you guys have the same experiences.
Yeah. I feel like these types of internships are really common in, like, more of arts oriented fields. I know a lot of friends of mine, like, that are more STEM fields tend to get paid internships because that's just sort of the climate or culture of those areas. So, you know, yeah, being music industry students, this is definitely something that I've personally ran into, and I've definitely seen other people, you know, experience as well.
Yeah. I mean, we were told that from the beginning. It's like, hey, expect unpaid internships. So one of the things they told us was that if it's going to be something where you have, like, a data collection task or cataloging stuff, that's kind of the only areas where I've seen paid internship. Or if it's like some sort of, you know, marketing field or something where it's a little bit more, you know, a specific job. So I think for us, it's pretty vague too, because sometimes we're just even just helping someone out, like a mentor or like some sort of assistant. So maybe that's why it's not, you know, covered as well. And I don't know, it's a tough discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Like, even just applying and, like, seeing all the criteria, it's like, oh, like, what criteria do you need to meet to, you know, get this internship? And a lot of them just say, like, this is an unpaid internship, but, like, we'll maybe give you, like, a stipend. But I feel like usually that doesn't happen, which is, like, unpaid.
Yeah, the weird thing is, it's like, you have all these requirements for, you know, you got to be proficient in this and this and this and be a college student, but we're not going to pay you. Exactly. Just interesting, like, how they, you know, you have to be so required to do it, and then you don't really get paid for anything. So
yeah, exactly. It's like how jobs, they say, like, they want a certain amount of years of experience, but if you can't get that experience with, like, a first job, then it's like, how are you supposed to get that experience when you just graduated from college?
Yeah, that's the entry level question, is, like, you know, how to break in right away. So,
well, why do you guys think internships have kind of evolved this way? I mean, you know, if I were to, like, start over and think about how to structure internships logically, I would have said, you know, let's pay people, you know, like, that would have been my first instinct. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious as to your guys' thoughts on, like, you know, how did it get to be that, like, internships just became unpaid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think because a lot of internships, at least, like, for us, they know that we need college credit. And so they use that, like, we can't pay you, but we'll give you college credit. And that's their way of, like, paying us.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think it's can't pay or won't pay? I think that's the real question, you know?
Yeah. Because I've seen a lot of places sort of say this is, they call it almost like a train paying for you because you're not bringing them anything. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if I agree with, but, and then the other thing is, like, if they say, so I don't know, in my eyes, if you're adding value or giving them any sort of work, I mean, you should be paid for that. You know, you're bringing value to the company, and you're doing work for them. I get it if you're just training somebody and you're learning on the job, like a class, but I don't know if that many internships are doing that. So again, I don't know how we all feel about that, but I think that's probably where they're coming from, even though it may not be right, you know, or what we think is right.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people who need experience in certain fields, like, they literally can't afford to do work for free, depending on, you know, their financial situation and whatever. So it's like, it's just kind of keeping certain people at a certain level. And just, you know, like, people who are trying to make their way, like, into the workforce in whatever field, and they just can't because they can't afford the time, or they can't afford to not be paid for their work. Because a lot of people who can afford to do unpaid internships are of a certain class level and are in a certain financial state where they can afford it. But not everyone is able to afford that, you know, that type of unpaid work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm actually looking on this article written by the Muse, and it was talking about how there's been some, like, lawsuits that have drawn attention to the what's called the Federal Labor Standards Act, the FSLA, which basically decides, like, if and when an intern needs to be compensated. And a lot of, like, experts on, like, just the culture of the workplace are now starting to say that, like, paying interns is just a better benefit to everybody all around. It's saying that you know, obviously paid interns are happier, but they're also more motivated to work harder if you know they're paid. And it I guess just providing that whole mutual benefit is, like, a healthier dynamic between employer and employee.
For sure. And I mean, it's, like, proven that, you know, if you do an internship, you're more likely to get a job because you have that experience. And again, that goes back to, some people can't afford it, so they can't get that experience, and then they can't get that job, and they're just kind of stuck in this loophole, or stuck, like, you know, in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough conversation, I think, but I agree. I think more places should definitely be paying, even if it's a smaller amount, or even if you have less interns. I mean, I think we'd agree if we were all paid, we'd probably work harder, just because we feel like we're valuable, I guess, or we're being paid for our services. So we must be good at it, or we must, you know, no, we're doing a little bit, which might make us put in more effort, I guess. That's not to say we don't put effort in if we're not paid, but it's definitely a nice, you know, reason to stick with a company, or even more just like a pat on the back too, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. Then, like, oh, sorry, you go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, like, a lot, it's mainly a lot of these bigger companies. Like, I'm sure, like, we've all tried to look to apply to bigger, like, record labels or big companies. And pretty much all of them, or most of them at least, don't offer paid internships. And it's like, if you're that big of a corporation or a company and you can't afford to pay your interns, it's like, then what are you doing? Like, you're doing something wrong if you can't pay your interns.
Yeah, exactly. And I've noticed a lot of startups don't pay either, but at least they have a more viable argument, I guess. Like, they don't have the same amount of money as a big internship, or as a big corporation rather. And so I think you're right. Yeah. Like if you're a huge company, like a Live Nation or Warner Music or something like that, you have billions. I think you can set aside at the very least a stipend for people, you know?
Exactly.
Well, what do you guys think about the implications that it's had on, like, our generation in the industry, in terms of, like, how, like, you know, does this affect the way we view our industry compared to older generations that are, you know, have been more commonly paid for the work in the past? Because I feel like this is a relatively new trend. Like, I think, like, unpaid internships, like, weren't as common in, like, you know, the 80s, 90s, and even, like, further back than that, you know. So I'm just curious as to, you know, like, in our, you know, current generation, is this going to change the way, you know, we look at the music industry, knowing that we're going into it not making any money at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that joke about, like, a, like, broke artist or starting artist and stuff. And I feel like it kind of goes into just being in the arts anyway. And I think our generation, more than any other generation, is, like, not interested in the 9-to-5 kind of jobs, which is at least is why I'm personally interested in, you know, kind of like doing like artist management and stuff, because it's not your regular 9-to-5 desk job. So already our generation is not really interested in just working from when you graduate college to the day you die, and having unpaid internships or doing work for a little to no money is just really unappealing. And I think that kind of makes it go further, and it makes just work in general and like thinking about a career way less appealing than it normally would.
Agreed. I mean, I think we're in it because of the music, you know, and because of the art. And yeah, I guess my advice to companies, like we've been saying, was stipends or even a paid internship is going to probably, what it looks like, it's probably going to get you a lot of applicants, you know, because we're looking for them, you know, and we'd like to get paid, and it'd be nice. But again, if a company would stick out and do that, they probably get a lot of applicants from the music industry. Because we love it, you know, and we're a lot of us are trying to, you know, pave our way into there. So yeah.
Yeah, and like not to mention our generation is like has the smallest amount or negative amount of generational wealth. So it's not for some people it's not an option. You know, like we don't have that luxury of just, you know, sitting around and like, you know, doing nothing, I guess. Because like I saw a chart of the different generations, like boomers to like Gen Z, and how much generational wealth they have. And by the time it gets to like millennials and Gen Z, the numbers in the negatives.
Right. So if anything, our generation above everyone else needs paid internships the most, you know.
And like you said, like before, it makes it, you know, more attractive, like more people are going to want to apply, and it's going to boost like morale and you know, just like excitement to work.
Right. Yeah. So I guess the real crux of the question is like, you know, how do we change this? How do we solve this? You know, like, I'm not sure we can force companies to pay their interns. That seems like a pretty difficult road to go down, but I don't know, maybe there's some alternate solutions to this.
Yeah, definitely. Like, at least for, like we said before, there's really no excuse for bigger companies to not pay their internships. If you're in a startup or if you're a small company, then sure. And like, if someone's applying to work at like a startup or a smaller company, it's because they like that company and they're, you know, it's like, okay, like, I don't really mind because I want to like be a part of building something. But if it's Live Nation or if it's Warner or if it's whatever, then it's like, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the most surefire ways we can probably get at least larger corporations to do that is like by changing the law. I think there've been a lot of talk around changing the Federal Labor Standards Act to include paid internships as mandatory for at least some companies. So, I mean that might have to be the direction we wind up going. You know.
Yeah, for sure. And also, yeah. I think. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I believe there was some lawsuit where there were film students who were at some studio and they realized that they were doing a lot more work than, and they weren't getting paid anything. So they were doing all this work. And I believe it was like, you know, on set, they were carrying things and stuff and moving stuff around. And I think some of them were even filming and they weren't getting paid. So, and I think a large part of the group sued, and I, from what I understand, I think they won. So finding that balance in that gray area seems to be the answer to this. Is like, are you guys really training people? Is this, are you teaching a class, or are you enlisting students to help you, you know, cover costs of work because it's just free labor? So I think Noah's right. You know, the companies that are doing that should be penalized, and then, you know, be so almost like forced to say you need to pay these kids or drop the work, you know. So again, I think finding that balance is sort of the answer here, but to get that started, it's a whole other question, you know.
Yeah, and I guess an argument that could come from the bigger companies is that, oh, you're an intern at this big company and it's this big name brand, so shouldn't that be enough for you? Like, why should we pay you if we're giving you this opportunity to work for us at this big, you know, everybody knows this big company, So why should we have to pay you if you get to have your name on or our name on your resume? I feel like that can be something that they would argue.
Yeah. I mean, I would say to that, like, work is work sort of thing, right? I think that's probably the best argument against that is, like, if I'm doing work, I'm doing work, and I should be compensated. But I hear it. I mean, that's, and I think that's where they come from today is, you know, you should be so lucky sort of thing.
Yeah. But just, like, point blank, if someone's doing work for you, just compensate them. And, like, I get it, like, you're giving us credit and whatever, but... you know, that's my time and like that's my effort and stuff. And if you have this much money, just, you know, you should be able to pay your interns.
Right. And like I think was mentioned earlier, it might also depend on the kind of work you're doing. You know, if, you know, you go into an unpaid internship and it's more like a class, like you're just like learning things from your supervisor, not really doing a lot of heavy lifting, then I guess you'd be much easier to argue for an unpaid position. But if, you know, like Ben said, if you're like heavily involved in, you know, the company's day to day, like if you're, you know, doing some pretty significant things, like without a doubt, you should be paid for it. Because like Ben mentioned, work is work, you know.
Yeah, completely agree.
Do we want to talk about like the process of getting internships?
Yeah, sure.
I can start, I guess. I think, well, the biggest question is like, the MIP doesn't have a round or B round when it comes to jobs. There's not like a job list where you just click and apply. So I guess the question for you guys right now would be like, how did you guys find your first internship and some of the tools you used?
Yeah, sure. Regina, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. So Drexel offers us resources like co-op resources, and Drexel has a lot of connections with a lot of different companies. How I found my internship last year, I worked for a publicity firm based in Nashville, and I found them through Drexel, and, you know, I sent in my resume and my cover letter, you know, the whole shebang, and then just, like, you know, they emailed me back, and we did an interview over, like, I think it was, like, Zoom or FaceTime, and then they hired me, like, on the spot. This year, I have applied to a couple places and they have reached out to me. One, I was a really quick like interview over the phone, and they asked me to do some like kind of, I guess, like a like testing me, like to do a little bit of work and then send it to them. And then she said, oh, we'll get back to you. We'll like, I'll discuss with my team and then we'll get back to you. So like even before I haven't done anything, I already sent my resume and my cover letter, and they want me to do like some work already.
Yeah, that's wild. I've never heard of that before.
I get it. Like, they just want to like see like what I have and stuff, but it's like, I mean, I guess like, shouldn't my resume and my experience like speak for itself sort of thing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I had a pretty similar experience to you. My first co-op I found through Handshake, which was one of Drexel's platforms, I guess, that they use for their students to look for openings. And I interviewed with this house dance music label in New York, and kind of like you, they hired me on the spot after a relatively quick phone interview. And yeah, I mean, like it you know, all pretty much fell into place after that. One of the things I found most annoying in the process though was the fact that we don't have like an A round, B round, a C round. Because you know, a lot of the process of trying to find a co-op involved, like, you know, juggling different offers and waiting for people to get back to you at different times and trying to manage it all was such a pain and I feel as though an unnecessary stress. What do you guys think about that though?
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, we could definitely benefit, I think, from more maybe a centralized system for looking at jobs or opportunities. We do have at the SCDC site where they list some jobs, but it's nothing compared to, you still have to go on their website and apply and figure it all out. So I think I benefited from it because I learned how to, you know, find jobs online, but at the same time, it was, I don't know if it was a necessary pain. I mean, it'd be nice to have just a bunch of places where you could just click, 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 but I guess the question is is this an industry thing? Is this because it's the music industry? I don't know if film has the same system or not, but
yeah. What do you guys think? I think having more structure would be helpful. And maybe, I guess, because a lot of the companies that we're applying for are a little bit, some are a little bit smaller. They range, you know, from really small to like really big. So it's hard to find that structure because like not all of them kind of have the same process. And like two things, like one I want to mention is that the interesting thing that I have noticed is that it was always the smaller companies that would get back to me relatively quickly and would be really great with going back and forth. But some of the bigger companies, like big name companies that I applied for, didn't get back to me at all. And which is even after, you know, sending like a follow-up email and things like that, I didn't get back to, or I, yeah, they didn't get back to me. And another thing I wanted to bring up is it's really hard during COVID. It's hard to do all of this online, because at least for me, with my co-op last year, it was just a lot of kind of like busy office work. And that's what I was, that's what I'm being offered at the one place that had an interview with me for this summer too. I was just like, you know, office work, research, database kind of stuff. And I think since the music industry is so much on hold right now, it's just really discouraging for us to, you know, have to still just sit at home and sit behind a computer and do office work when we'd rather much be like actually in an office and be talking to people and like making connections like in the actual workplace, because it's really difficult to do that online.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I also found it really hard to make connections, even though like in my, you know, day-to-day work, I talk to like managers and label heads and things like that. And like, it's just so tough to forge a connection with someone over email, you know, like, cause I feel like people are inherently more inclined to make a connection when you speak with them face-to-face, you know, or at least, you know, over Zoom or in person or something like that. So yeah, I'm with you 100%. The pandemic has definitely, on one hand, made things a little easier to apply, at least in my opinion, but on the flip side, getting something substantial out of it has been much, much harder for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, even on Zoom, I was like, you know, we'd finish what we need to be talking about. And then it was like, all right, goodbye. You know, there was no time to be like, oh, by the way, how's this and this and this? It was just kind of like, oh, let's part our ways, you know? And I mean, I'm even used to that because of class, where it's like class ends and then leave. So I don't know. It's definitely a lot harder, and everything went digital and remote. So it was very much, like you said, office work and databases and emails, and that was about it. And there was no office to walk into. So yeah, difficult time, and a different time really.
Yeah. And especially within like our industry, and I'm sure like other creative industries, or just, you know, in general, it's always the connections that you make. And before, like pre-pandemic, when we would have guest speakers, like after class, we could go down and like, you know, we could talk to them and have a conversation. But over Zoom, you just leave the class and there's no, hey, like, can I talk to you really quick? You know, I want to introduce myself. There's none of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, let's see. Is there anything else we want to cover about just internships in general?
I mean, we sort of talked about like solutions, but I don't think a solution can come from us necessarily until our generation gets to a point where we're at that level where we're offering internships, but that's a bit of a ways down the road.
It's definitely a few years away. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm a little optimistic about it. At least it's nice to know that our generation that's, you know, a little more conscious is going to be in, you know, in power soon. So
I guess I would just encourage companies to offer paid internships, because the reality is if you offer a paid internship, you will get many applicants, and probably pretty talented applicants, because, you know, people want to get paid. And so if you're offering something similar to other internships, but you're paid, I mean, it's almost a guarantee that you're going to get a ton of really talented people. So just encouraging companies to pursue that and, you know, try to find a way to make it work. Because it's probably in it for them the most. You're going to get the most work out of us, and the, you know, probably the best class of people too. So
for sure. And there's definitely going to be at least a little bit more of an incentive to, you know, really show off like your talents and your abilities if, you know, you are getting paid for it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right, that wraps it up for this episode of the podcast. Make sure to check us out on Instagram and listen to us where you find your podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.